Guess I'll turn there too. In Acts chapter 17, in verse 12, he says, "Therefore, many of them believed." Stop. Whenever you see the word "therefore," ask "why for?" and back up a verse. He says, "These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures," how often?
Daily.
"Whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed." Search the Scriptures daily. And he called these people more noble. You know, you've heard some great preaching here, amen, since Friday night. And this is the last preaching for this conference. So what happens when you leave here? You know, this afternoon you leave, you go back home, you go back and get into the world. Now what? Well, there's an old saying, and help me with this saying. You know, give a man a fish and feed him for a day. Teach a man to fish and feed him for a lifetime. Well, you've heard some great messages. So I guess in this last one, I'd like to teach you how to study so that when you leave here, you can search the Scriptures daily to test the things that you've heard the last few days here, whether they were so. And in doing so, may many of you believe. So let's talk about that for a minute. You know, there's a verse in 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm sure just doesn't come to mind at all when it's learning how to study, but let's turn there. And I would say put a marker in 2 Timothy chapter 2, because we'll probably come back to that one quite a bit here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and you guessed it, verse 15. "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And of course, we're going to go along with that philosophy as we study the word right there. Turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Make sure you got that mark in 2 Timothy 2 now. And in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart." Now, if we put those two verses together, study, and over here we're talking about the Word of God being sharper than a two-edged sword. So sharp. I was talking to Brother Wade this morning. He talked to me about having a knife one time, and he kept it so sharp he could shave with it. Are you picturing something really sharp? A two-edged sword. So sharp that it can divide asunder the soul and spirit. Study. A sharp instrument so sharp it can separate, divide, it says there, soul and spirit. What pictures come into your mind right now? Anybody here remember back in, study, that kind of makes school, right? Study makes me think of being in school. Anybody remember back in biology class doing a thing called dissecting? Anybody remember that? I mean, maybe it was a worm, you know, biology class, and I'm seeing a lot of yes down here. Biology class, getting something really sharp. You know, we started with a worm first. We dissected that worm with a really sharp instrument. Maybe some of you dissected a frog. You know, how many people remember dissecting a worm or a frog or something? Quite a few. Anybody here never dissect a worm or a frog or anything? One, two, three, four, five, six. Six out of the whole room. Okay, anything. Okay, yes, let's ask that. She cut up a chicken. That counts, absolutely. And if you were sitting in the front of the room, you would have heard her say that. Getting my shots in at the amen corners, huh? Everybody remembers that, don't they? Let me ask this. People 50 and over, and I'll go to my class, okay? 50 and over. Anybody that's 50 and over does not remember when they dissected something back in school. OK, Okay, just a couple does not remember. Okay. Oh, come on. I mean, we did it in seventh grade now. We did that in seventh grade. You don't remember doing that?
I was the only one in seventh grade that driver's license.
I've got one saved for you, though. Just hold on. Okay, you get the picture. Anyway, just remember that now about dissecting some stuff, okay? Come back to 2 Timothy chapter 2 now. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And I need to look at my watch now to make sure that I know where I am. You know, contrary to what you've heard, I want to teach you some Greek here. Don't throw me out yet, Jack. I do need a marker. Oh, there it is. You want to write this down now. Now, in the old days, and I wish Mrs. Moore was here. I want to keep looking at her. I'm going to refer to Brother Moore. But I remember some of the studies 25 years ago plus when Brother Moore would do word studies using a thesaurus. And he used to say if you got stranded on a desert island, if you could only take one book, of course, that'd be the King James Bible. But if you could bring three, the other two would be a thesaurus and a Webster's 1828 dictionary. And those are the only three books you need. And that's an amen to that. But today, there's a really neat program. And I know all of you that use Facebook and stuff like that, it's called eSword. If you can't see that in the back, that's e-sword.net. And it gives you the thesaurus and Webster's Dictionary right there online. And it's so cool because, again, how to study your word of the Word of God, how to study your Bible. All right, I'm just writing the word study if you can't see that. I tried to make that as big as I could, but that's the word study. 2 Timothy 2:15. If you click on the version that says KJV+, hold on, it's not a better version than KJV. KJV+, all it does is it adds the Greek, and here's the cool thing. Here's how it does it. I need to write this Greek word down. Right, what KJV Plus does is on this word study in 2 Timothy 2:15, it gives you the Greek word right here. It's G4704. That's Greek. And I love it because if it had the real Greek word, I wouldn't know what it said because it'd all be Greek to me. Okay. All right. It's the 4,704th Greek word in whatever list they have there. And I can understand numbers like that. But here's the cool thing now. Here's how you can use that to study your word. Okay? First of all, when you just put your mouse over that number, it gives you, up pops a screen, and it gives you the definition of the word study. Pretty cool. And the second thing it does is the way Brother Moore used to teach us to do word studies. And I heard Brother Allen talk about the King James Bible will define words for you. And okay, here's the second thing you can do. You can right-click on that number up there, and then the word search comes. And if you click on that, you can search either the whole Bible or just the Old Testament, just the New Testament, or even... Now, it says Paul's letters, but it does go Romans to Hebrews, so just know that. It does do that, okay? But you can search just whichever area you want. And if you click on that, it gives you every single verse in the Bible that Greek word is there. Now, that's pretty cool. And it even writes out, it doesn't just list the verses, it writes them out right there. You can do a study right there on your own. So let's take one word. Let's use the word study. If you right-clicked on it, here's some of the verses that would come up. Go to Ephesians. Again, keep a marker here. Go to Ephesians chapter 4. how to study your word. Now, one way would be go find every place that uses the word study. Okay, and you could look at all those verses. Another one to help you understand, you know, the word study, I think we all get the picture what that means. But here's other ways the same Greek word is translated in different passages. In Ephesians 4:3, we're going to see one of those. It's that very first word. The same Greek word that study in 2 Timothy 2:15 is endeavoring. In Ephesians 4:3, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavoring. What does that, if you use that with study now, what does that kind of picture comes to your mind? Endeavoring. That's not just a one-time thing, is it? It's kind of ongoing. May I suggest daily? How many times a day do you eat? How many hours a day do you sleep? How often do you study your Word of God? Body needs to be refreshed, gang. Okay? Study. Endeavoring. Put that with the word study. It just helps it unfold a little bit. You getting the picture? Okay? All right. Let's try a different word. So bless you. You could go on and on. If you looked at Hebrews 4:11, it would be labor. Study can be labor if you're doing this right. Is that something I'm doing? Okay. And in 2 Peter 3:14, it's be diligent. That's how that same, this Greek word 4704, that's how that same Greek word is used in other places in the Bible. It just gives you a more complete picture, if you will, not a better. The word study is there because that's the word that God Almighty wanted in 2 Timothy 2:15, study. Make no mistake about that. We're doing this to help us understand a little bit more, that's all. One other word that's in that same passage. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth to be ashamed. What's next to? Rightly dividing. Or... dividing, and the Greek word for that is 37:18. I love that sequence. 37:18. Now, are you ready for this? When you put your mouse over that word, rightly dividing, by the way, one word is translated, rightly divided. I want to read this definition to you because it is astounding. I'm going to use the word literally, and that's because it's in the definition. Here's the definition of word 37:18, used as rightly dividing right here. Literally, to dissect. Whoa. Dissect the Word of God? Well, let's do a search on it. Let's right-click on it and search. And go to one other place where that same Greek word is used. Go back to Hebrews 4. Now, actually, while we're here in Hebrews 4, we're going to start in verse 11 this time because that same word study, this is where it's labor in verse 11. 4:11, let us labor therefore, same Greek word as study, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and Greek word, 37:18, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. How seriously should we rightly divide the word of truth? Dissecting. I mean, go back to that picture in seventh grade biology, and you're dissecting that worm. You're dissecting that frog. I mean, that paints quite a picture, doesn't it? Even doing a chicken. All right? You're... I mean, it's a real clear-cut, Brother Wade and shaving with that knife. It was so sharp. That's how you are commanded to study your word, rightly dividing it, dissecting the sections. Let's get this organ, get the kidneys out of there. Dissect the kidneys out of that frog. Put them over here. The liver, put it over here. Now, why would you do all that? Of course, in biology, you're learning about those different organs. And the Word of God, and I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but the whole Bible is for us, but only parts of it are to us. Thank you very much. Dissect the Word of God. Rightly divide the Word of God. Okay, so why do we do all that? Because there are different Gospels throughout this King James Bible. There are different ways to be pleasing to God throughout this King James Bible. But the key is your road to salvation today in 2012. You've got to go to the right places in your King James Bible to find your gospel of salvation. That's why we dissect this Bible. That's why we rightly divide this Bible. Because at the end of today, on the way home, if you died tonight, as Brother Barry would say here, if you died tonight, where would you go and why would you go there? And come on, you've heard it many, many times this weekend, but you need to know the answer to that question. And only one place can you find the right way, because there are many ways throughout this Bible. Either you believe the gospel in 1 Corinthians 15, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and raised again for our justification, or you don't. Now, most people in here remembered when they dissected something back in seventh grade, whether it was dissecting a worm or dissecting a frog. And you can picture it right now, can't you? I mean, do you remember who your lab partner was? Do you remember little Johnny or little Susie that got sick and had to run out of the room real quick? I mean, you remember some of that stuff that happened, don't you? I mean, it's a vivid recollection in your memory. And for any of you that may have gotten your driver's license in seventh grade, do you remember going to wherever you had to go in your state to get that driver's license? Do you remember going to take the test? Do you remember if you only had to do a written test, or did you have to get in the car? And do you remember the guy or the gal getting in with you and doing the test to make sure you knew how? Okay, and I'm getting a yes. You remember stuff like that, don't you? I mean, that's a significant event in someone's life, the day you get your driver's license. Do you remember the first place you got to, your parents let, okay, legally now, your parents let you drive their car, or your car if you got one then, somewhere by yourself. The first time you drove by yourself. Do you remember that? Where'd you go? I remember I just gotten my driver's license and actually went to a Young Life meeting. It was a Thursday night. Scared to death parking that thing, but they let me drive. I remember that. You remember that, don't you? Brother Allen shared his testimony. Today is the anniversary of his salvation. And that's great to be able to preach on the anniversary of your salvation. You can see how choked up he is. I hope you get choked up, but here's my question to you. Where were you when you got saved? When did you get saved? Now, come on, gang. You can remember seventh grade biology or whatever class that was, and dissecting that little daggone worm or frog or chicken or whatever it was. Where were you when you got saved? How old were you when you got saved? And if any of you are back there wrestling with that question right now, and I remember I was about 12 years old and I walked the aisle and I asked Jesus into my heart. If that's where you're going right now, examine yourself. Come on, you've heard people talk here too many times about pride. If there's one tool Satan will use this side of salvation, it's pride. anything he can do to keep you from admitting you're a sinner. Because who did the Lord die on that cross for? Sinners. If you're having to go back there and figure it out, then, like I say, examine yourselves, and might I add, with fear and trepidation. Because what if you did die on the way home tonight? That's a serious question. And those in the Montgomery Church know how serious that question could be. And we could go through a whole litany of them, and I'll try not to, but I may go there. I'll go there. I'm here because at 51 years of age, a man that was preaching there for 20-some years just went to sleep one night and didn't wake up the next morning. 51. He's a week younger than I am. People aren't supposed to just go to sleep and not wake up at 51. Did you know he had a 9-year-old son? How many of you here ever wanted to get a pair of jeans for your son or your daughter, and they're 9, and why not? Let's go get in the car and go to Walmart, get a pair of jeans. Just a normal weekend activity, right? Oh, it's raining out. Let's not go yet. Let's wait till it stops raining. Let's have a bite to eat. Now it stops raining. Well, let's go now. Put the car in reverse, back out of your driveway, and just happens to be when two cars are drag racing 100 miles an hour. And most people in here know this story. Barry lost his youngest son, and Brenda lost their youngest son at 9 years of age at an event just like that. Another lady in that car was killed that lived with them. You don't know that you have tomorrow. No, praise God, Meemaw had 80-some years. Last year, I'm looking for Mrs. Butler. I saw her earlier. Mrs. Butler gave her testimony. People that heard the gospel for decades. Now I see Mrs. Butler. For decades. Praise God, they had those extra years to get saved. You don't know that you'll have tomorrow. Examine yourselves, and if you're right there, right now, wrestling with yourself, well, maybe it was this time, maybe it was that time. I walked the aisle there. I got baptized when I was 17. If you're going to an age of 12 or younger, I'm going to challenge you. Examine yourself. And no, I'm not saying anybody can't get. I'm just saying, examine yourself. Because you might be trying to make a certain event in your lifetime work. I was there 20-some years ago at Brother Obed's church when Brother Jerry Sanders was here, and he gave us, he talked yesterday. I was there when he gave his testimony. Kim and I were there, and it started, like he said, first people got mad at him. How dare you? You've been traveling with Brother Moore for years and years. You've been teaching the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, and now you're saying you got saved? I don't think so. And you know how many of those people that got mad at him at first came up the next day and say, I got saved last night, because they heard him stand there and give his testimony and talk about the pride that kept him from stop trying and start trusting. And how many people in here have a similar testimony to that? Huh? Let me see a show of hands. Let me see a show of hands. How many people have a similar testimony to that? Look at how many hands went up there. You understand that? Yeah, God our Savior would have two things of all men, to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. But when your time comes to die, whether or not you go to be with the Lord for eternity is not whether or not you know have come unto the knowledge of the truth. You got to have the first part of that satisfied. You got to be saved. When did you get saved? You know when you got your driver's license. You know when you dissected a daggone worm back there. When did you become a worm? Come on, it is. Get to pride. I'll give you my testimony. July 5th, 1983, because the first thing when I was at Bible camp. Thank you, Meemaw, for having that Bible camp. For how many people here got saved at Pineview Bible Camp? Boy, that number's getting less and less as a percentage, but at some of these conferences, it's great and seeing how many hands go up there. But thank you for having that Bible camp. What a work for the Lord, for sure. July 5th, 1983, and I tell you what, I love in the Lord Brother Jerry Lockhart, Brother E.C. Moore, and Brother Steve Atwood. Those three men preached the gospel to me and showed me the word rightly divided, and I love those men in the Lord. I thank the Lord for putting them in my life, and many other preachers as well, but those three in particular, because they preached that night, July 5th, 1983. And that's the night I got lost. Because I realized there never had been a time. I walked that aisle twice in religianity. Even got baptized when I was 17, and my dad got baptized at the same time. That was a great emotional event. All it did was got me wet. First thing, when I realized I was lost, I went to Brother Moore right after those services that night. All three men, by the way, preached lost believers. Imagine that. I said, Brother Moore, I got a problem. He said, what's that? I said, I think I'm lost. And he said, well, what do you want me to do about it? And those of you that know Brother Moore know the wisdom in that right there. What you want me to do about it? And I'll make this quick in the name of time here. But got to a point, and I remember at one point, yep, I'm lost. Lord, just in case I'm lost, I'm putting my faith in the fact that you, just in case I'm lost. Come on, give me a break. If any of you might have something like that in your life going on, get yourself out of the way. It ain't none of us worth the gunpowder it takes to blow us into hell. There ain't none of us worth any better than that worm on the thing that you dissected in seventh grade. We are worms. You know, Brother Obed up there in Chattanooga last year gave a study, Mark chapter 9. You know, when the Lord says something twice, watch it, right? And when he says it three times, you probably ought to really watch it. Now, I need some of you preachers to help me. Is there anything that he says more than four times in a sequence like that? In Mark chapter 9, four times every other verse, the phrase, where the worm dieth not and the fire never quencheth. Then a little talk, next verse. Where the worm dieth not and the fire never quencheth. Verse another, then where the worm dieth not and the fire, four times. You think he's pretty serious about the fire not quenching, the worm dying not? You understand, if you're not saved, that's what you have to look forward to. Look at these words over here, eternity. Come on, gang, it's not a game. It's real, and it's the most real thing in your life. You know, like we were kind of joking, if you leave here hungry, shame, you know, it's your own fault. If you leave here lost, it's your own fault, because you've heard the gospel preached every which way it could be preached, as clearly as it could be preached. If you leave here lost, it's because of one thing and one thing only, pride. And I know I've been there, and I think every person that gave their testimony said the same thing. When did you get lost? When did you get pride out of your silly self? And if you're going back to 12, examine yourselves. If you're going back to 16, examine yourselves. If you're going back to 20, how old did Moses lead the children of Israel out of Egypt? Yes. Did they all get to go into the promised land? No. What was the age that made the differentiate the determined whether or not they got to go in or not? 20. Everybody over 20 got to go in, or everybody over 21 did not. Everybody over 20 did not get to go in. Everybody under that age got to go into the promised land. I don't know if there's something significant about that age, and I'm not telling you there's some age of accountability. I'm just telling you, if you got saved as a youngster, examine yourselves. If that's where you're going right now to justify your day of salvation and you're lost in your mind right now. I know a whole lot of people that thought they were saved at those ages. You heard Brother Jerry talk about his testimony at what age? 22? And he'd been teaching and preaching. They'd been married several years. He'd been teaching and preaching. But he realized at 22 he was a lost sinner, not worth the gunpowder it'd take to blow him into hell. Is that my 38 minutes? So on that note, examine yourselves. Think back there. Don't play with this. It's too important of a question. It's the only question that matters. Because either you're lost or you're not. And why wait till you're in your 80s to do it? First of all, you might not get that chance. You might go to sleep at 51 after standing at a podium like this. Just go to sleep and not wake up the next morning. Explain that one. You might back out of your car, out of your driveway. And a whole bunch of other reasons that could happen to you. It never happens to us. It always happens to someone else, doesn't it? But you know what? Here's the other thing. You're saved now. Not only do you have that peace in Romans 5:1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. But you get to start putting some jewels in your crown, don't you? I think of all the people that got saved out there. I'm pointing at Meemaw down here. They got saved. Now, she's getting to put a whole lot of jewels in that crown now. But you can start earlier. You can start now. All the stuff, all the great preaching you've heard here, you can take to your neighbors. You can take to your family. They need to hear the gospel of their salvation. Get selfish about it, okay? We work overtime because we want more money to put in the bank. We work hard because we want more to put in our account. Put some jewels in your account. That lasts for, what's that word over there? Eternity. Share the gospel with someone. Show them the word rightly divided. But it starts with salvation. And you get a jewel to put in your crown just by preaching it. Like one of the brothers shared. Whether they accept it or not, that's between them and the Lord. You get a jewel just for preaching it, just for teaching it. So get selfish about it. Start putting some jewels in your crown. But don't leave here with that unsettled. If you're wrestling with that question, and Brother Jack, come on, I'm turning it back to you here. If you're wrestling with that question, don't go get in that car. It's a serious question, and you will have eternity to deal with your answer. And there's two choices, and those choices are up to you, because he paid the price. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood to pay the penalty for your sins. He took those sins to hell, and on the third day, God the Father raised him for your justification, and all you got to do is put your trust in that and that alone, and you'll be saved. Brother Jack, thank you for such a great, great, great conference.